Peace, what's good, fellas? Sorry for being late. I was watching Hamilton and forgot what time it was.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Sapling Podcast.
Shit. Fucking leave it. Sapling! You are listening to episode 196 of Sapling Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Ba-da-da-da! Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards.
Oh, you can't.
This episode is a cookie jar filled with treats as we uncover the paper cut chronicles behind one of this generation's most popular songwriters.
Yes, this week's guest is Travie McCoy, the fantastic rapper, singer, songwriter, incredible beard grower. Fucking hell, what an unbelievable beard. We got to talk all things Travie McCoy. What an absolute pleasure it was to have him on.
Yes, there's so much to say about Travie. He's a multi-platinum selling artist, and for the last two decades is a music personality who's really bridged the gap between the alternative and commercial universes. Gym Class Heroes crossed over to so many people's hearts, becoming one of the biggest and unique bands in the world and a true influence to a lot of genre-mashing artists today. And check this out for a statistic.
Go on.
The band haven't been active for a while now and haven't released anything since 2012, but are consistently ranked in the top 500 in terms of Spotify monthly listeners. And that's huge deal.
You jammy bastards. it's not jammy, is it? It's not jammy. It's what happens if you write fucking cracking songs, isn't it? But... do you know what? I'd love that. I reckon I would take my PRS, my Performance Rights Society money, every quarter, up to at least 70 quid, I reckon. imagine that. Every quarter, 70 quid. Duh. But yes, fucking congratulations to Travie and the Gym Class Heroes for that. That's a fucking unbelievable feat.
That's a huge statistic as well when you consider how much the music industry revolves around that kind of stuff. But outside of it, Travie's solo career and just DNA is all over influential mega hit singles. His songwriting, features and collaborations are an endless list that feature such artists as Fall Out Boy, Pink, Bruno Mars, CeeLo Green, Maroon 5, T-Pain, Sia, Ollie Murs, Jason Mraz, Lil Wayne, Panic at the Disco, and even Kylie Minogue.
Right, Morg, you could have... That list could have been all fucking class legends, right? But for some reason, in the middle of it, you decided to add... Ollie Murs! Why the... all right, Cooley's work with Ollie Murs, and that's wicked, right? And Ollie Murs, tidy fella. But I wouldn't put Ollie Murs on the same level as somebody like T-Pain, Bruno Mars, maybe. Bruno Mars and Ollie Murs. Do you think Do you think that's a co-headliner?
No, not to me. I was showing the diversity of his songwriting capabilities.
He works with all these brilliant artists and this one plonker from the UK. Fucking favourite. Oh, I like Ollie Murs, actually, right? I think he's quite cool as a person. I can't say I'm into the music, but yes, that's a fucking hell of a list, and Ollie Murs, mind.
Yeah, well, there's so many hit songs, and we're going to get really the insight into such a wild career Travi has had, and how he's been away for the last 10 years working on his new solo album, Never Slept Better. And just in the grand scheme of things, Sean, I think this was a conversation we're a little bit in awe about.
Yes. Well, yeah, at first we were both kind of worried because neither of us have really spoken to him before. But for a lot of these, if we don't know the people, we kind of get a bit antsy and pantsy because we don't know how they're going to be or if they're going to accept us for the stupid fools that we are from Wales, right? Or if they even understand what we're going on. But this, as most of them are, was a brilliant, brilliant chat with a wonderful human who didn't have to be as nice as he was to us, but he was fucking great. And we had a great time. So thank you very much to Travi for doing that. If you're listening to this, cheers. It's been awesome.
And throughout this conversation, we're going to talk about everything from the real passion, trouble, and why he almost really disappeared for the last decade writing this new record, the end of Gym Class Heroes, fighting his way out of record contracts, growing up in the spotlight, going from hardcore punk kid to really celebrity status, some ridiculous backstage stories, appreciating the finer things in life, being a huge comic book nerd, and we even have a dog off. It's all going on in this episode. And speaking of things we appreciate, we'd really much appreciate it if you could check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin.
And if you've got any ideas for other episodes or people you want to hear from or questions about any of the guests or anything that's going on, get in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, I suppose, at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. And give us a message because we love a chat. Patreon.com/sapnin, at sapninpod on Twitter and Instagram. Let's fucking go.
Yes, this is the songwriting superstar that is Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes on episode 196 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin! You could have said that with a bit more vigor then, I think. I felt like you were a bit flat. Anyway.
Sapnin!
Yes! Yes! This week's guest is rapper, singer, songwriter, and mighty, mighty beard grower, Travi McCoy.
It's coming through, man. You know what's crazy? I didn't start growing facial hair until I was like 25, and now I got this crazy, massive.
Wow.
I'm never gonna cut it either. Fuck it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm 38 and I cannot grow anything here at all.
I had the issue with connecting my mustache. Yo, this shit was always bald right here, always.
Oh, shit.
And never connected until like a year ago. And now my shit is like, it's white as well. Like, what
class.
The fuck?
That looks awesome though. Yeah, mine kind of just does the normal mustache, and then I get two little dots further down to make me look like a catfish.
See, it's opposite for me. I get bits that grow much more thicker than other bits, and then it's a whole thing. Yeah. It's just a lot of work.
Like a patchwork quilt. Yeah.
But how are you doing, man? How's things? It seems that it's been a busy time lately. You've been doing a lot of traveling, a lot of stuff. What's been going on?
It's been great, man. We dropped finally dropped the album on July 15th, a couple Fridays ago.
Yep. Congratulations. A
couple few Fridays ago. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. The album's been 10 years in the making, which is crazy to say. But I signed a deal with Hope This, like, Records, like 2 years ago. And they've been nothing but amazing. The reception and the response to the album has been amazing. You know what I mean? 10 years is a long time to try to get it right. You know what I'm saying? And I did my damnedest to make it an experience. You know, as opposed to a mixtape or a sloppy job of work. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I feel like we live in an age right now where everything's so single driven and nobody really cares about albums anymore. And I mean, as an artist, I did the single thing for a minute, but I'm like, no, I like focusing on full bodies. You know what I'm saying? And I like those full bodies of work to be very, very, tethered. You know what I'm saying? That's a really great word, tethered. Shout out to Jordan Peele. You know what I'm saying?
No, but I'm sure, like, over the years as an artist, when you're seeing more and more attention being on just a single, it kind of takes away that kind of precious songwriting moments from album tracks, especially that people get to kind of express themselves a lot more, because absolutely, I'm sure there's some songs you write in that method that there's not as much pressure on, because you know it's not going to be a massive single campaign behind it, for example.
And I think that's where a lot of artists get tripped up, you know, worried about making hits. Honestly, like, as far as numbers go, I don't know, and I don't care to know how well it's doing. I just know that I put everything I have in me into it, and everybody that I fuck with and everyone that's gotten the album, they've hit me up like, yo, this is probably one of your, I've even had the word magnum opus thrown around. I'm like, holy shit. Like, and that's a tough one to top. You know what I'm saying? It's like every time I've made a record, I'm like, shit, I'm going to start running out of shit to talk about. But then you realize, like, you just continue to live life and have experiences, and it gives you shit to talk about. You know what I mean? But I got, like I said earlier, I got caught up in that single thing, and it wasn't necessarily on me. Like, I feel like for a long time in my career, like in the middle of my career, I became like a super people pleaser. You know what I mean? I just wanted to make everyone happy. And in turn made myself very unhappy doing that. You know what I'm saying? So with this album in particular, I did my victory lap. You know what I mean? I felt like Rocky when he ran up the stairs and got to the top and was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just been great, man. It's been great. And I'll never go back to that bullshit as far as like, well, one, people pleasing, two, worried about, you know, like making a hit. You know what I mean? I feel like, And I feel like the most the songs that we've had or I've had that have been the most successful are the ones that I really didn't expect to be hits. You know, because at the end of the day, you don't really get to choose what's going to be a hit song. People get to choose that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I gave up on that shit, man. I gave up on it. And it's been working.
Well, you talked about people pleasing there. Can you elaborate on kind of like what you were expected to do or was expected from you by people?
Well, you know what? It came to a point, you know, like Gym Class Heroes, we started Gym Class Heroes in 97. I was in 10th grade. I hope you guys don't mind if I smoke.
No, about, go for it. Go for it.
I'm a horrible, horrible person. but yeah, man. So I feel like, you know, midway, we started Gym Class in 97 and we kept pushing along on our own. We signed a Fuel by Ramen. We got upstream to Atlantic when Cupid's Chokehold blew up. And then we were just kind of tossed in this pop world and just expected to make hit song after hit song. And it was a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? I handled it well, obviously, but I mean, it was just a world that I didn't understand or know how to maneuver in. You know what I'm saying? And it got to a point where like I'd be in sessions with producers. And, you know, we'd write songs and then I'd bring this to my band, like, all right, play, or you know, I'd be expected to bring the songs to my band and like, all right, play this, you know, and I could see how that could be discouraging for, you know, a group of dudes who used to just sit in a room and make songs together. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then have the lead singer go off and work with all these big producers and come back and just be like, here, play these songs. You know what I mean? And I think it definitely took a toll on the band. And I felt guilty for it for years. You know what I mean? Like, but I was trying to please the machine. You know what I mean? Mm. And now I'm raging against that bitch.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. But like, yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up, I've always found really interesting about your career, Travi, is that obviously, like, that background, you originally came from such a kind of alternative rock, emo influence growing up. Obviously, you've always been into kind of popular music and stuff like reggae, dance and all that. But there was a huge period where you kind of reached so many different elements of the music industry where you kind of started off maybe underground is a word to use, and then hit into that kind of commercial atmosphere.
Absolutely.
How was that being for you, just looking back and being able to see the way the music industry works and different elements, just different genres, different worlds? Because it must feel like you've got a really unique look into all these different sides of it.
Yeah. Well, one, it was by default. It definitely wasn't the mission statement, you know what I mean? To be this huge band, or to, you know, like, and like I said, we kind of got tossed into that world. But I will say, our roots were definitely like underground, but we never had a mission statement. We were never like, all right, we're gonna be this type of band. You know what I mean? Like, we were four different dudes from four different backgrounds, four different upbringings, and a whole lot of different musical, you know, like musical idols, you know what I'm saying? And shit that we listened to. And the one thing I loved about the early gym class days is that we would share music with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would put them up on underground hip hop they had never heard. They put me up on hardcore bands that I had never heard of. I mean, I've been a hardcore kid my whole life, but it was just that exchange. And all the shit that we listened to kind of crept its way into what we did. You know what I mean? And we never set out to make anybody happy but ourselves. You know what I mean? And, you know, like when we started, you know, doing our first couple Warped Tours, I guess kind of getting accepted by that scene without necessarily catering to it. I remember one time I told Matt, I was like, yo, this shit is going to crumble. This shit is like Pompeii. It's going to crumble at some point. You know what I mean? Like, and we'll be the last one standing because we're not doing what is expected of a Warped Tour band to do. But in the same token, it's cool to see this awesome fucking resurgence of all this shit coming back. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, really cool, man. Really, really cool. But as far as gym class and what I do, shit, I listen to everything from Michael McDonald to goddamn Gordon Lightfoot to Rick James to I listen to everything. I mean, my dad's a bass player, and he's played bass all his life. I grew up in a really musical household and got to hear a lot of cool shit, and which I shared with everybody in the band and vice versa. And that's how I guess the gym class sound came about, which is, I don't even know what that is, but but that's still how I make music to this day. You know what I mean? Like whatever tickles my pickle.
Nice. Well, yeah, mentioning Never Slept Better. Yeah, you said like it's been 10 years since the last record. Yeah, when did you start writing for this? What was the first song you wrote for it?
So this is really crazy. So about 12 years ago, I got sent a track called The Best Part of Revenge, which is on the album, 12 years ago.
That's my favorite song.
Got him. And here's the thing. You would have never known. You would have never known, right? You would have never known. And I feel like that's something I hold dear to my heart, is the fact that I try to make timeless music. You know what I mean? You'd have never known I wrote that song 12 years ago.
No, it reminded me. It just, to me, it sounds like summer, autumn 2022. That's the vibe I got with it, and I fucking love it.
it'll be summer 2045, hopefully, too. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. So I got this track from this dude, Jared, and I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. And I literally wrote the song that day, the day I got it. And I sent it back to Jared. He's like, yo, this is fucking bananas. Let's work some more. And I think it took about, it was like another 2 or 3 years before him and I actually got in the studio together in LA. And we wrote 2 songs that day. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, we got something here. You know what I mean? And so we decided, I mean, Never Slept Better started as a Gym Class Heroes record. And sadly, about a quarter of the way into the record, things got kind of hairy and I won't dig too deep into it, but we all kind of felt that it was time to fucking, you know, lay it to rest for a little bit. You know what I mean? And I had to deal with the depression. I mean, bro, I spent more than half of my life in this band. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like this. I always compare it to that scene in Endgame where Spider-Man's like, Mr. Starks, I'm not feeling too good. He starts floating away like my band literally like disintegrated in front of my face. And I had to tuck my tail and come home and deal with that depression. And it took me like a good I didn't get out of the bed for like a good 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like everything I've known and loved is now buried deep.
When it happened to me, like when my band decided that they wanted to call it a day, I was the only one who was like, no, let's do this forever. And everybody else was like, no, we've got kids and lives. We need money.
And you know what's crazy? Same shit with me. I'm literally the only, I mean, I'm working on it. Don't get me wrong, working on it. But I'm one of 7 kids. I'm the middle kid. And I'm the only one without kids. And all my bandmates have kids and families and shit. So like, and that comes with its own struggles, aside from trying to fucking keep a career afloat. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel like me not having kids gives me an advantage, but at the same time, like I understood. I'll dig a little deep. So I got a call from Matt one night, and he was just like, "Trav, like, I'm." On antidepressants and drinking whiskey to go to bed at night because I'm so stressed out. You know what I mean? Like with what's going on. I'm like, well, the last thing I want you to do is that. You know what I'm saying? So if we gotta take a hiatus, we gotta take a hiatus. And he's just like, honestly, bro, I don't know if I can do it anymore. And I was like, well, I have to respect that decision. You know what I'm saying? We started this shit and we could put it to bed if we want to. You know what I'm saying? And if we decide to dig it back up and breathe some life back into it, it'll happen when it needs to. But I had, and while I was going through that depression, Jared called me. He's like, yo, get the fuck up out of bed, fly to Nashville, and let's fucking finish this album. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I can't sit in the house all day, like waddling in this fucking self-pity. And you know what I mean? Like it was terrible times, but I got over it. And what helped me get over it was finishing this album. You know what I mean? It was very cathartic, like very cathartic.
Nice. Yeah. My point was that, yeah, when it happened to me, I got so depressed that I went off music for like 2 years. I just didn't listen to anything. I was like, I'm done with this. Nobody interests me. I just want to, if I'm not playing it, when my band stopped, all music stopped. Right. And I was like, what? People are still listening to other bands. What are they doing? That's insane.
Yo, you literally just pulled that whole thought out of my head. Like, yoink. That's how I felt. Exactly how I felt. It's exactly how I felt.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it took seeing a young, good Welsh band play for me to go, oh no, everybody carried on. And this is brilliant. And I need to get back into this. And then ultimately we started the podcast after that then. So
word up. That's fucking awesome, man.
Was there a moment for you where you kind of like snapped out of that mindset, or was it just kind of writing and working on your music in different ways helped kind of get back to celebrating it where you are today?
It was that call from Jared. It was that call from Jared. He was just like, yo, like you can't do this, bro. Like you not only do you owe me to finish this album, you owe the fucking world. You know what I mean? And that it stuck with me. I'm like, you're absolutely right. Like they need to hear this shit. You know what I'm saying? And we had put so much effort into the first chunk of it. And I mean, there were songs that I hadn't written lyrics to yet that were still dope as shit. And I'm like, God knows what's going to come of this, but I'm not going to not let me, I don't want to use a double negative, but I'm not going to not see it through. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the type of person to just fucking, you know, just give up. That's my dad instilled that in me at a very young age. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start something, you see it through. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is with this record, as you've said, like, there's been so much happened behind the scenes over this last decade with it starting as a gym class record and then changing everything and labels, and there's so many things it seems like you've had to put up with and deal with and change and work on behind the scenes in that time. And I mean, now finally having it out as the finished project it is, does it kind of feel like there's a little bit more passion? Does it feel a little bit more special to you, this record, compared to anything else?
Absolutely. I can honestly tell you both that this is the most proud I've been of a project in my entire life. You know what I mean? The death of Gym Class Heroes was tough on me, but also separating myself from my old management, and it took me about 3.5 years to get out of my deal with Atlantic. Oh, and wow. That's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother stack of bricks on my shoulders that I had to deal with, but I got through it, you know what I'm saying? And finished the record. So I feel like an X-Man right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what my superpower would be. Maybe just being awesome, I guess. Awesome, man. I'd just be awesome, man. Fucking awesome, man. Like, yeah, I'd be fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, like the brand. Yeah. And then you get a brand deal then from fucking awesome as well. So it's a doubler.
Part. Or you can just call me Fam for short. You know what I'm saying? Fucking awesome, man.
Oh, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to come up with a comic now. Call me awesome, man.
But I think a lot of people, like, are just fans of music, don't see the kind of politics side and having to deal with labels, and especially when there's like a tricky situation like this. Like, I'm sure you can't go too deep into like details, but how hard was those 3.5 years for you trying to kind of work something out with Atlantic and then signing to Hopeless? I'm sure that was whole process in itself.
They didn't want to let me go. They didn't want to let me go.
Of course they didn't.
Yeah, but I'm saying so. If I'm obviously unhappy in this situation and you want to keep me, do you think I'm going to make quality music for you? Fuck out of my face. No, I'm not. I'm not. Matter of fact, I'm not going to make any music for you. So you can keep me contractually binded to you, but you ain't going to get shit from me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we eventually came to an agreement and it worked out in my favor, and I'm grateful to everybody at Atlantic for what they did for us and what they did for me. I'm grateful for my ex-management for everything they did for me. I don't hold grudges, you know what I mean? I didn't necessarily agree with a lot of shit that went down. But I also was that naive green kid that was like, oh, you know that age-old story, like, the major label will fuck you over. I never thought it happened to me, you know what I mean? Never in a million years. And then when I started seeing signs and red flags, I'm like, oh, this shit can happen to anybody. This shit can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter if you wrote Billionaire or fucking Stereo Hearts, or if you wrote motherfucking Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, this shit can happen to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can happen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. And really, you've grown up under that kind of music spotlight. Like, you've been in the industry for more years than you haven't at this point. How strange is it being for you just kind of growing up under that spotlight? And is there anything you kind of really noticed on just the way you are in life compared to how the when you started writing music to now? Is there anything that kind of comes to mind on that side of things?
You know what? You know what? When I signed to Hopeless and I had my first meeting with them, pardon me, just burped. Sorry. When I had my first meeting with them, it felt like the first time that we went to Fuel Bot Ramen. You know what I mean? Like, it was a bunch of kids. I don't want to say kids, but a bunch. Actually, it was a bunch of kids back then. we were still kids as well. But it was a bunch of kids that were super passionate about music. Super passionate about championing the music that they were into. And that's how it felt like. That's how it felt when I first met with Hopeless. It was like, whoa, this is, they care. You know what I mean? Like, they care. And when you have big machines like Atlantic Records, Interscope, Capitol, I can name a gazillion of them. They have a million acts ready to go. If your shit doesn't work, all right, cool. That's not working. We got a gazillion. See, this is how I look at it like this. I feel like these labels, say if you're fishing, right? You go fishing. I usually go with one pole. Major labels go out with 50 million. You know what I mean? Like, they go out with 50 million fishing poles and something's going to hit. I just don't have 50 million hands. You know what I'm saying? I got two and I got enough for one pole. But again, like, I got that feeling that I got with FBR, with Hopeless, but on another level, because I'm an established artist. You know what I'm saying? So I know what I want. I know what I want to do. And beyond that, they fucking absolutely love the record. You know what I mean? Like, love the record. I brought the record to my management and literally I'm playing. I'll never forget this shit, man. Like, I'd never been so like humbled in my life. Like, so I took a train. I lived about 2.5 hours. I lived about 2 hours north of New York City, like out in the country. And I took a train to meet my manager to play him what I had done in Nashville. And I'm playing the record and he goes, hold on, I'll be right back. I gotta go check my fantasy baseball. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So I'm like, bro, like, one, I mean, I'm 6'6". I'm a pretty big dude, but I wanted to cry. I dead ass wanted to cry. Like, I wanted to start crying. I'm like, fuck this. I was like, you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm not going to name names. But I'm like, listen, I'm going to leave. I'll holler at you when I holler at you. You know what I'm saying? And that train ride back was like the pivotal moment when I said, you know what, fuck this shit. Like I'm not going out of my way to make people happy if they're not going out of their way to make me happy. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, again, like I said earlier, like, you never think it's going to happen to you until it does. You know what I mean?
Well, you called yourself an established artist, and I think that's kind of an understatement in the grand scheme of things, because you've been part of so many mega hits over the last few decades. And
I've made a lot of people famous, bro.
You have. You definitely have. But one thing I've always noticed is that you've said constantly that you never want to feel like you've made it. Like, there's been moments where you feel like you've arrived. There's been milestones. Yeah. There's moments you really appreciate. But is there anything you've kind of done to keep yourself grounded in that element? Because I'm sure over the years, you know, you've got so many people telling you how great you are behind the scenes as well. So how do you kind of keep yourself grounded, keep yourself motivated, and not lose sight of that creativity?
Easy. one, just don't be a dick. Two, like appreciate, you know what I mean, what you have. And when I said established artists, that's not in my eyes. That's in the eyes of, you know, like music consumers, you know what I'm saying? Like, and back to what you said about, you know, like not feeling like I made it. I still, you know, like I don't know what made it means. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand that language. Like, and I feel like that's what keeps me hungry. You know, it keeps me wanting to continue to make dope ass music. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like there's been a lot of dope monuments, you know, like milestones, and I got a fucking ton of plaques, and I'm not jerking my own dick here, but I'm being honest. I got a ton of fucking platinum plaques, and none of that shit means nothing to me. You know what I mean? As long as I show up to a show and these kids are singing every word and telling me how I got after the show, you know, like I don't rush off to the bus and hide. I go into the crowd and hang out with the kids, and, you know, hearing stories like, yo, this song got me through this, or, you know, someone coming up. And I've been very transparent about my past battles with addiction, and, you know, kids coming up to me and giving me their 30-day or 2-year, you know, tokens of sobriety. And yeah, it's shit like that keeps me doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel
that's
like
class.
It's the connection. It's the connection, you know, it's always been the connection.
Yeah. And that's such a personal connection as well, because obviously songs mean so much to people, but when you can find it that you've helped other people get sober or continue in that way, that must just blow your mind in so many ways.
It's fucking, I'll never forget the first time. I have a box with about 11 sobriety tokens in it, and I've kept them all. But the first one I got was in, I believe I was in Sacramento, and this kid came up to me. He's like, yo, I'm 30 days sober today because of you. And I'm like, because of me? He's like, yo, like, that you just being honest and really, really putting it out there without being ashamed. And, you know, I mean, that's the killer. I mean, if it's not a mixture of drugs, the real killer is guilt and shame. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that was killing me, like in my act of addiction, the guilt and shame. Like, I never did drugs with people. I'd be on the back of the bus, or I'd be in my hotel room. I was embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want anybody to know I was weak. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, like I needed to lean on something to do what I had to do. And I was a very functional addict to say the least, but that's not anything to be proud about. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there were times where my band was very concerned, but I feel like they were a little too scared to confront me, because I think they may have thought I might have lashed out. But honestly, had they reached out, I may have gotten cleaner a lot earlier. But that's not on them. That's all on me, because, you know, like I said, I kept it to myself, but I let it out through music. You know what I mean? And in turn, helped a lot of kids get their lives together. And man, that's the biggest payoff ever. Like, fuck a plaque, fuck a check, like. If I could save a life, that's there. You can't put a price on that. You know what I'm saying?
Nope. That's class. That's absolutely class.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. But was there anything you realized over those years in particular that kind of sparked you getting sober? Like, was there anything that kind of showed
shit,
that light for you?
Absolutely. I mean, drugs took at least 6 girlfriends from me, 1 fiance. I mean, also you start to lower your standards the deeper you get into addiction. You know what I mean? Like, I would be hanging out, like, I'm a fucking, a multi-platinum selling artist hanging out with scumbags in Detroit to get heroin. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like, you know what I mean? And they're just stoked to have me there. And I'm just like, I just need my drugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a fuck about, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't give a fuck about anything but being straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, and looking back on those times, bro, I could have got killed fucking, or God knows what could have happened to me in the places that I put myself in. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm woo. Actually, like bringing that up, yo, that shit just gave me the weirdest feeling in my stomach because I'm thinking of story, like I'm thinking of like times where I really could have got fucked up. Like I could have got yeah. There were some strange times, but and a lot of people don't make it out, man. A lot of people don't make it out. So back to the kids coming up to me and shit. That shit really like it hits me like dead in the heart. You know what I'm saying? Because I've had friends die left and right from way less than what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? Way less. Especially now here in the States with this fentanyl shit everywhere. Like you don't know what the fuck you're putting into your body. You know what I'm saying? I'll be 41 this Saturday. I'll be damned if I'm going to sacrifice. Thanks, man. I never thought I'd make it to 30, to be honest with you. So 11 years later, I ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Yeah. Class. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being so open and honest with all that to us, man. Thank you. It's so nice to see you doing so well and everything. But going back to those moments feeling like you arrived, was there any early on where you just thought, what, how the hell is this going on? Like, how am I here? How is this happening?
Oh, yeah. There was one in particular. I think actually the first one that I is always my go-to. Pete from Fall Out Boy sent me a video. It was like a video clip. And Kanye West was doing a show in Vegas and he stopped the entire show. He's like, hold up. On my way to this show, my driver was playing this song and this shit was so dope. I just want to take a second, play it right now. And he stopped his whole show and played Cupid's Chokehold. And when Pete sent me the, yo, I damn near pissed myself. I was like, did this shit really happen? And then I watched the video like 20 times, like, oh shit, like shit is real now. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
I got goosebumps urine now.
I think I got him again too. My legs are all bumped up.
Ooh. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that was different, man. That was different. There's been a couple others that but none of them stand up to that one. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Kanye West. I wonder what he's up to now. Be wild somewhere.
I'll tell you what. Travis's not a fan anymore. I'll tell you.
Fair enough.
I'm not a fan anymore. No, but no. You know what? Like you got to give the man his credit. He's a savant in his own right. You know what I mean? He's easily the biggest artist of our time. You know what I'm saying? And. I'm just glad. I'm stoked that I was around to see him come being the underdog and then being the top dog. You know what I'm saying? It's inspiring. It's inspiring. I don't know what the fuck kind of dog he is now, but not one that I want in my yard. You know?
No.
Give me a small dachshund like Pete Davidson any day.
That's so funny you said that. Hold on, I want you to meet Fala.
Oh, well, we're on a dachshund off. Are we?
Actually,
we're
on a dachshund off. I might change her name to Kanye West.
Aww.
This is my baby girl, Fala. Say hi, mommy. Say hi.
Oh, he's going to get his dog now.
I'm gonna start calling her Yeezy. Hey, little Yeezy.
Hey-o,
oh no out. Way! Stop it! Are you kidding me? Oh, bro, that's wait, crazy.
Oh, wow. So,
but you got one too? No way! Both of you guys got Dachshunds?
No, this is a chug.
Oh,
but
shit.
We're just having a dog off.
Oh, adorable! Adorable! Man, I'm such a dog lover. It's so funny. Like my first dog was a Chihuahua and like I'm 6'6" and everybody, people expect you to have this big Rottweiler or a big pit bull, but I've always felt more comfortable with small female dogs for some reason. Like they have this weird, like this is my baby Thalo. She's I just rescued her from Korea.
Aww.
That's my baby girl. Oh, she can see. And not only that, like, yo, she actually, she's the only dog that I FaceTime that actually looks at me and can hear me talking to her. Look at her ears.
Yeah, like, she can. Yo. Yeah, I noticed that one.
She's such a sweetheart. Yeah, man. I love that. I love that. That I love that female canine energy. That sounds really creepy, but
yeah, mine's a dachshund crossed with a chihuahua. They call them chihuahuas.
Chihuahuas. What? That's a breed, or is it? It just happened to be a mutt.
Not yeah. That's what happened. Yeah, they were bred together as they're both pedigrees, and yeah, a chihuahua.
Chihuahua. I've never heard of that.
I think it's because in America. Dachshunds are wieners, a wiener dog sometimes, I guess.
Wiener dogs, yeah.
So, yeah, chihuahua, chihuahua.
I get it.
I would have gone with dachshunds myself.
Dachshunds. yo, that's awesome. And it sounds kind of like it sounds very, very like culture, like African. Say it again.
Dachshunds.
Yeah, that's definitely a dog from Wakanda for sure.
Oh wow,
for sure. A
Dachshunds forever.
Dachshunds
forever. Oh, I'm gonna get that t-shirt made. Class. Oh, brilliant.
But Travie, one thing I really wanted to talk to you about. You mentioned earlier making a lot of people famous over the years, and you've like collaborated, written for, and just worked with so many huge artists over the last how many years, you know, from just kind of Bruno Mars to Adam Lambert, Jason Mraz, Sia, Fall Out Boy, Train, the list goes on and on. I mean, is that one thing in your career that's been quite refreshing and that you're quite proud of, is to be able to work with so many other artists and see how they operate, see what works, what doesn't, and just kind of mix it up a lot?
Oh, absolutely. I would say, like you said, I've worked with a lot of people, but I think me and Jared, who executive produced Never Slept Better With Me, him and I have this weird unspoken, like this, I don't know what it is, man. And honestly, I can go on the rest of my career or life just working with Jared, man. But I just hung out with Asa from Electric Guest. I feel like if him and I and Jared got into a room together, we'd make a fucking hell of an album. Asa's amazing, man. Like he's Electric Guest is dope on its own, but like he's such a great person. And we hung out and had drinks in LA, and he gave me a folder the next day. The next morning I had a folder full of beats, and I didn't skip a single one. I drove out out to Studio City to do some, I drove out to do Ridiculousness with Rob Dyrdek. We listened to the whole folder on the way there, and I was just smiling the entire time. I'm like, yo, like me and this dude need to fucking get to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So, Shout out to Asa. Shout out to Jared. Honestly, I'd be happy just working with those two dudes for the rest of my life, for real.
Nice. Was there anyone that you've worked with who had a strange style of writing or recording or producing?
I'm not going to say no names.
But that fucking Patrick Stump.
I've worked with some very strange people.
Right.
I've worked with producers who literally talk about dicks for 3 hours before the session gets started. I can say this. I've never been in a session like this before, but my first session with T-Pain actually wasn't my first, because we started working on tour together. He had a studio on his bus, which was fucking, I had never seen anything like it in my life.
Yeah, that was head of, he's always been ahead of the game with everything. Like, he's always been fucking first to everything. Bro, T-Pain.
And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. That motherfucker, I can't, he's probably got fucking 8 terabytes full of songs, bro. Like, he's very, very prolific. But I remember the first time I worked with Payne at Hit Factory Miami, and I walk in, and there's 4 huge flat screens, and each of them, each of the screens had the nastiest porn I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, I was like, oh, now I get what, now I get where the inspiration comes from, I guess. But like, I was very uncomfortable, to say the least. Very uncomfortable. But we made a lot of hot shit, you know what I'm saying? But I definitely kept my eyes on the floor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a different working environment.
Yeah, that's a weird night on Twitch with T-Pain. T-Pain presents T-Porn.
Oh no, T-Porn. We don't want this.
T-Porn, got T-Pain.
Another one. T-Porn, I love it.
T-Porn.
For real. T-Porn. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their thing. Mine just happens to be weed. I just like to smoke weed. You know what I mean? Like
snap. Like, very much so. Yes.
But during all those collaborations as well, I'm sure there's been many over the years that you've tried to work with an artist, or there's been things where maybe you've written a song and it hasn't come out for any reason. Is there any ones like that over the years where, like, is there any secret songs we don't know about that you just gutted hasn't come out?
Well, it's coming out, but ooh. I'll never forget the first time I worked with Pharrell. And
oh, what a guy.
I had to geek down a lot. I had to like, all right, I'm going in here. Don't fucking fanboy. I tell myself in my head, don't fanboy. He played me a couple beats and I was like, cool. And he's like, I'll be back. I got to go work on Beyonce's record. I'm like, wait, I thought we were working together. Like, what the fuck is going on here? So, but one of the beats ended up being a song called TikTok that you guys will hear soon. I have a collective called Bat Squad, which I started ages ago, and it kind of dissipated, but I rebuilt the team. And as of now, it's myself, Chris Crack. If you guys haven't heard of Chris Crack, please, please, please check him out. My man, Quentin Brock, please check him out. He's amazing. He just dropped a record recently. West Period, my brother, Big Mont. And yeah, man, we've been working on this mixtape for, we started it during, it's actually called the Bat-demic because we started during the pandemic. But
nice.
Yeah. Those are my mans, man. And like the song that I did with Pharrell ended up being a Bat Squad song called TikTok. And it's fucking amazing. It's amazing. Like to hear that original Neptunes, that boom, 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 boom. And the song starts, you know what I'm saying? Bro, like it gives me chills thinking about, like, at least I got one, you know what I'm saying? At least I got one.
Nice.
Was he, how was he to work with? Because, I've been fortunate enough.
I didn't really work with him, so I wouldn't know. So he literally came in the room. He's like, "What's up?" You know, like we hung out for a minute, talked for a minute, talked music, and he's like, "All right, I got to go work on Beyonce's album." And I'm like, "Okay." So I basically worked with his minions. and I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
No, but like, yeah.
I mean, all these dudes, like literally, like they all these huge producers, they have teams. You know what I'm saying? And you know, they'll make 4 or 8 bars and give it to the team, and they'll work it out, add drums, all this shit. Yeah, it's a machine, bro. Like these producers are literally machines. And I guess at when you get to that status, you can't do it on your own. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way you can pump out that much music on your own. So, but one thing I did learn from working with Pharrell and studying the Neptunes is that, and it's something that we applied to Never Slept Better. The way the Neptunes produce and the way Pharrell produces is that he just stacks shit. Like even if he's not feeling, he just stacks it and stacks it and stacks, 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 and keeps it all. And then he'll just subtract, 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 subtract. And then you end up with fucking 15 songs out of one song. You know what I mean? And that's something I've kept up here. You know what I mean? So whenever I'm in a session, I'm like, hey, and I learned this from my brother Andy. And we call it DTS, and that means it stands for dare to suck. You know what I'm saying? Dare to suck. Fuck it. If it's not cool, we'll keep it, but we'll mute it. You know what I'm saying? And then you never know, it might be cool for another song. You know what I'm saying? But you still have it there. So it's like, fucking go all out. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Balls deep.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that then. I was watching a bit of your No Jumper podcast that you did. You said something that rung true to myself, and I think more people need to hear and feel this. But you said about stop caring about people, what people think, and being teased and stuff. And that's something that we try to push on this podcast, is that it's pointless taking on what other people think when it's going to be no help to either of you, really.
Absolutely. And you know what? That stems from growing up as a fat biracial kid in a very small redneck town. You know what I'm saying? Like a very small, I don't want to say redneck town, but it was small. It was a small college town that wasn't really, you know, like accepting of a huge biracial kid with tattoos and piercings. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy because that mentality has stayed with me my entire life. It's like, I love going back home and I love visiting my family back there, but all the kids that put me through hell in middle school and high school absolutely hate their lives right now. And it makes me so happy. It makes me so happy. It makes me so fucking happy.
Right.
It makes me so happy. For real.
Yeah. But that's the thing. They weren't happy back then. So they
exactly.
were like, they weren't gonna be happy later. Yeah.
Exactly. So I like to call it the I peaked in high school. scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows a little bit of those. Yeah, kinds and then they're like, those people.
Dude, when I was in 10th grade, I was the dopest soccer player ever. I'm like, yeah, but now you're 45. What the fuck is going on? Like, get the fuck out of here.
but that's another thing I always respect of you, is that you've always been true to yourself, no matter what the inspiration is, because like, you've mentioned all the love for kind of comic books and superhero films and stuff like that. And you incorporate that as much as you can as well. So it's nice to know that it doesn't matter if you think it's going to fit in or not. It's a part of you and you want to portray that.
Exactly. And I stay true to that, and I always will, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's what's got me to where I'm at, you know, is just being blatantly honest. And here's the thing. We live in an age right now where, like, bro, there's no way you can lie. Everything's documented. You know what I mean? So like, and that's something that Jonathan Daniel told me a long time ago from Crush Management. I love him to death. Like he's been my Yoda for years. You know what I mean? And he just said, Trav, just like, don't ever lie. Don't ever lie. Like, and we had no media training. None, all that shit was out the window when we got signed. Media, you know, they used to take you like back in the day, you had to take media training courses like to be an artist. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have that shit. They would just throw me into interviews and be like, "All right, talk about your life or answer these questions." And I'm not gonna lie to anybody about or tell you know, like stories that didn't happen. Like, so that's a character trait that I like to pat myself on the back for, because like I said, man, like people will find you out. They will find you out. And I can't even imagine what it'd be like to you know, make up some crazy false narrative and then have somebody be like, that didn't happen. And here's facts. And I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, thank you. No, thank you. I got nothing to hide. Nothing to hide.
Here's a 2-hour YouTube video I've put together of all the times that you did the thing you said you didn't do.
Exactly. Bastards. It happens. Yeah. It happens. I've seen it happen.
Well, Trevi, as we start to wind down here with the last few questions, I mean, obviously, you've talked so much about how passionate you are about this new record, Never Slept Better. But for people who haven't checked it out yet, what's one thing you really hope people take away from this album more than anything?
I would just say whether you got a nice pair of KRK speakers or some really decent headphones, put the album on, listen to it from front to back. There's, like I said before, there's no skippers. And if you skip something, you shouldn't be listening to the album anyways. But me and Jared spent a lot of time sequencing and we played with a lot of binaural beat, like binaural frequencies and shit. So like the album actually like physically relaxes you as you listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's peaks and valleys. But if there's anything I want people to take away from it, it's just like, hey, like I'm still me. I'm still human. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect. And beyond that, the shit that I've been through for the past 10 years is all on the album. So if you're wondering where I've been for the past 10 years, it's all there. You know what I'm saying? It's all there. But I guess if there's anything else I want them to take away from this album is that no matter how tough shit gets, you can get through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that goes beyond addiction. I'm talking about fucking dealing with major labels, dealing with fucking shitty management, dealing with fucking shitty people, dealing with artists that you've helped give careers to who don't return your calls. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot in there, but just stay true to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, just stay true to yourself and you'll always win. You'll always win.
We appreciate that advice so much, man. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Just before you go, if there's anything else you'd like to plug, mention, let the people know about, please do.
Absolutely. So, well, first and foremost, make sure you go get Never Slept Better right now on all streaming platforms. Check out all the videos. I put out a ton of videos before I even put the album out. So check out all the music videos. They're all dope. Shout out to Space Visuals for everybody, for Angelica and Pseudo, who shot basically all the videos almost. Except for, I believe the first video was shot by my man DJ, but shout out to Space Visuals. Shout out to my manager Hodge. Shout out to Bat Squad, West Period, Chris Crack, Big Mont. Goddamn. Make sure you go get my man Quentin Brock's new album. Shit. And get ready for that Bat Squad mixtape. The Bat Demic is coming. It's coming.
Yeah, so, can't wait for
yes.
that.
Travi, I just want to say thank you very much for this. It's been inspiring. It's been eye-opening. The connections and like links that I could feel between me and you for being very similar in the way things have happened for us. Has meant a lot to me. And just thank you for the songs over the years. Thank you for the music. Give Jared our love, because we've all got to thank Jared as well, because Jared's
absolutely
helped you make this that record. So
he kicked me in my ass hard, like real hard. Like he fucking punk kicked my ass, like motherfucker, if you don't get your ass out that house and get your ass down here. So shout out to Jared, man, for real.
Nice. But yeah, thank you very much. Hope we get to see you soon. Hope we get to come see
you
soon.
You definitely will. You definitely will. You definitely will. Yo, honestly, let me tell you this before we end this shit. That yo, this has been one of the dopest interviews I've done throughout the whole promo for this record. For real, like you guys are really tapped in. I appreciate it. For real, for real.
You listen to Sabin Podcast. Yes. Woo! Fucking hell, that was loud, and you went deaf, eh?
That's how loud my woo is.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. What a fucking great chat. What a fucking unbelievable human. So honest and open with us. It's good to see him doing well and his sobriety. It was lovely to meet his dog as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed the little dog off we had in the middle of that. But honestly, it's just so great when there's someone so influential like Travi, whose DNA is literally all over popular music for the last 2 decades, worked with so many artists. And not only do we get to hear his real life stories, but we just get to make him laugh and have a good time and have a little bit of a connection. And to me, that's one of the craziest things about doing this podcast is just, you know, it's not just a question and answer thing. We get to make them forget about their troubles in the world for like a little period of time as well.
Yeah, and we make new friends and they make new friends. And yeah, it's been awesome that how many people that we've not known prior to this, who we've ended up becoming friends with and messaging on the regular. And yeah, it's been awesome. So thanks again to Travi for this. You're a fucking superstar. You always will be. The album's fucking class. Check it out now. Never Slept Better. My favorite song is The Best Part of Revenge. Check it out. It's a fucking lovely tune.
17 tracks in total, including interludes. There's no tours planned at the moment for him, but I'm sure that will change. And I'm hoping that we get a few UK appearances in 2023. Oof, or something, yes, as well. Please. And of course, if you haven't for some mad reason, go back and check out all of Gym Class Heroes' back catalogue, because the amount of hits and good times and feels on those albums are absolutely insane.
I'd love to know how much PRS Bruno Mars makes from Billionaire. Like, how close to being a billionaire has he? Has he become just off the back of the song Billionaire?
Just off that one song. It has got a lot of streams.
That's not what I should have asked Travi. I've just realised now, because he probably would have had the same PRS as him, really, wouldn't he? For writing that. Shit. Oh, well, next time.
That's round UK two.
Tour. That's it, yeah. That's it, yeah. But yeah, thanks. Thanks to Travi. Thanks to his people for sorting it out for us. We had a great time.
We did. We really, really did. And of course, if you have any suggestions about what we should do for future episodes, some guests you'd like to hear us talk to, let us know at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram. Tag us, tag the guests, and maybe we can try and make something happen. The day of this being released, I'm going to be going to Reading Festival on the Friday to have a little look around and record some stuff for our Patreon page at patreon.com/Sapnin. If you head over there, you can subscribe to help us make this podcast each and every week and become a part of a wonderful community of people who are just the best in the world. So if you have any suggestions for that as well, please let me know and I'll try and see what I can do.
I got a suggestion.
What's that?
Could you please speak to Rage Against the Machine? Because I want to know what they think of everything that's going on in the UK right now. And there is nothing more that I'm so glad they're playing Reading, right? Because there is nothing more that the union needs right now than a rock band, a political rock band like Rage Against the Machine on stage on what is not even the rock day, really, right? So they are playing to people who are not into rock. They're going to be opening the eyes and minds of thousands of festival goers to the tragedies and the crimes that are currently going on with the government. So I'm so, so glad Rage Against the Machine here. So if you could please get 1 minute with Tom Morello, Zach De La Rocha, the bassist who's got the tattoo of the T-shirt under his vest, and the drummer, that would be excellent, Morg. I would love that.
So two things off of that. First off, I agree with you completely of how much have a statement and a staple and important moment that would be for them to perform.
Oh,
to the
we
UK.
Need it more than anything. I reckon it would literally make people rise up and realize what's going on. Rise up and wise up, right? And then we'd all be better off. I think this energy crisis would be gone by October if people, when people see Rage Against the Machine. Carry on. What were you going to say?
The second thing, and quite the bad news, is I don't know if you've seen this, but it was all over the news the last couple of weeks that Rage Against the Machine are not playing Reading and Leeds Festival anymore because they've had to drop out due to an injury.
One of them must be dead then.
No. Bad leg.
Wet leg? Well, the band Wet Leg have killed them.
No, they've got a bad leg.
Well, all of them, they've collectively got bad legs. Sit down. Are they not all... Well, explain... No, what's going on? What?
Zach Darosha, the singer of Rage Against Machine.
Yeah. I know. Of course I know he is. He's from Rage Against Machine.
Yep. Broke his leg. And...
all right.
He's not playing. But they've been replaced.
So,
No.
Wait. I'll get to that now. he's broken his leg and his voice box.
No, just the leg.
Because I'm a big fan of Rage Against the Machine, right? As everyone should be. Is that why he was sitting down on all those American dates, the last five American dates they've done?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, all right, cool. Well, all right, he doesn't even need to be there, really. As long as Tom Morello's there giving the political speech, you could have anybody fronting him. But anyway, they're bound to have been replaced by a fucking left-leaning political band whose parents are definitely not Tories and one of them's on Chopsy Slags, which is the TV programme Loose Women. They've definitely been replaced by a political band that are going to make a massive difference, right?
Quite the opposite.
All right. Well, as long as it's not just a lot of pink lighting and flouncy music, right? That with the first album, all the song titles look like a 15-year-old's dreams, chocolate, sex, you know, etc. As long as they're not being replaced by flouncy band with no backbone or political stance. Who's replacing them, Morg? Wait, it's got to be Rise Against, truly. Like, Rise Against are a political band, or anti-flag, or as they're known in the UK, because we invented the words, anti-flag.
The 1975.
Oh, kill me now.
That's at SapthinPod on Twitter and Instagram to keep us updated of where I get up to a Reading Festival this week. Give us for suggestions of who you want to hear on the podcast. And remember to please support us via patreon.com/Sapthin before Sean goes on a killing spree and murders us all. And speaking of our Patreon page, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank, but Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin podcast Patreon community.
Thank you very much to special members Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Mitch Perry, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Emma Barber, Nathan Croshaw, Natasha Morris, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Kieran Olmey, who's a massive fan of the 1975, and that's not me having a go at the 1975, by the way. Rage Against the Machine shouldn't be replaced. Anyway. Thank you very much. Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Tom Owen, Stuart McNaught, Kayla O'Sullivan, M. Evans Roberts, Caroline Robson, Kate Patak, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Craigie Knoxville, Aris, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Emily Perry, Kelly Cannon, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Goss Parslow. I hope you're all right, fella. Ollie, Sean Scared of Tables, pass it on, Amesbury. Sean Scared of Tables.
I think that is a reference to last week's episode with wrestling superstar Nixon Newell, where we talk about the time you broke your back in a wrestling move from a table.
Yeah, he is right. Yeah, no, he's right. Josh, it's really hard to say what my missus does for a living. She sells seashells at the seashore. Crisp. Nice one. Alice Wood, Gary White, Reese Bowden, Kate Stephen, Kyle Fatty Boys, who the Lewis is, who's Fatty's Boys, David Smith. That's a Twin Towns reference. And last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those people and the people Morgan mentioned in the description. Go and check it out. Thank you very much. I'm bloody heartbroken. Enjoy Reading, Morg.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone for checking this episode out. As always, thank you for Travie McCoy for all the great chats and just everyone who helps support us and make this podcast. We'll be back next week and every Friday with a new episode, a special guest, and some good laughs. But until then, enjoy your week, stay safe, and spread the love. I never know what to say as a last sentence, and this happens to this, an awkward few words jumbled. So here we are. I'll stop talking now.
I just realised, yeah, the Bridges machine could definitely afford private jets that would have had leg room for that. There's no excuse. It's absolutely no excuse. I can't believe they've pulled out. I think it's the worst thing they've ever done, and they should never be forgiven. Because, we're doomed. We're doomed. Anyway, yes, good luck at Reading, Morg. Everybody who's going to Reading, have fun. Everybody who lives near the beach, super gutted the Tories have started pouring shit out everywhere. Anyway, Bridges machine. Oh, they can't sort it out. They're not going to be there. Anyway, Sapnin!
I am losing my mind.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.